This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
I'd like to welcome all here the second Sunday of Lent. For those at home, we're using Bible service 3 from the Lutheran Service Book, hymn numbers 430, 423, 708, 440, 439, and 420. Well, Father, our service you received on the beginning on page 3 with confession and absolution, followed by the sharing of the peace and the procession of him. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved of the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Let us kneel and receive the confession of sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you in your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God upon all of you. And in the stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise to face the center for the sharing of peace. The lectern is on. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Pulpit song. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
Thank you.
and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
To God.
Thank you. exacted in justification for all men through the righteousness and the obedience of one God, our Savior, our Christ. And just as we have no decisiveness to be born into sin, we have no ability of our own to attain our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, but perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. St. Mark, the 8th chapter. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not set in your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called on the crowd with his disciples, and he said to them, "If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the children's message.
You want to constantly run in front of the church, the back of it. Oh, what a great place, what a great day to be here in God's house, though. And I thought I'd start out with a little phrase I came up with. I was just thinking, it's like, a rose by any other name would certainly smell sweet. Just occurred to me. No, that of course, the kids would all know, right? That's from, do you guys know? Romeo and Juliet. Because Juliet is upset that Romeo doesn't come from her family. She's the rival's in fact, so. What's the difference what his name is? If it was a rose, we could call it any other name, and it would still smell as sweet, right? So, there's a lot about names today. I've got a couple things, not just to ask, but This is a spoon. That's what I call it. It's a spoon. You cook with a spoon and mix things up. But if you're really good, I guess it's the way you hold it and turn it and on the speed you go. It all makes a difference in the way you can, what's that called? Anaerobic. It's how you like feather that stuff out. I just slop it. Whip it. Whip it good. But it's only a spoon to me, but in the hands of a chef or somebody who knows what they're doing, it's much more than a spoon. This is a high-class tool, I guess. Same as these. Barbecue brush, no. Paint brushes, right? I can paint the wall, I can paint the edging, the trim, but put these in the right hands of an artist, and you can come up with some amazing work. And these are special pens. They're not just a spoon. It's not just a paintbrush. And we have in the words of the gospel today, Jesus talks to his disciples and he says, "Who am I?" Some people say you're a prophet. Jesus was a prophet. I'm surprised we didn't hear about his healing powers and all the miracles he did. He's a healer. He's a teacher. He's a great man. He's a great leader. But who do you say I am? Should be the same as our answer to Christ. The Christ is the anointed one, the Messiah. And he is our Savior. And we have no other. We have no means of our own. We're a spoon. We're a person. We have nothing. But we have Christ, our Savior, who died for us all and rose again victorious for us all. And as we look into Lent, we remember those hard times. And we think about all the hard. It's easy to think of the hard times go through, but we remember especially the pain and suffering, the torture, the persecution that our Christ went through for us, for all people. And not knowing who the people to come, the people that have been. Abraham was born a couple millennia before Jesus came around. And Jesus died for Abraham. Jesus died for all of us. If you say the words of a prayer with me, Heavenly Father, help us to remember your gracious will for us. Is not that hard, Lord? But we have your Holy Spirit to lead us. And your precious only Son who saved us. Amen.
We continue with the sermon hymn, "Lord, Thee I Love With All My Heart," on page 8 and 9.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As a teenager, I really enjoyed roller coasters. I'd wait in long lines for the Rebel Yell twin roller coaster at King's Dominion in Virginia. This is a huge wooden roller coaster similar to the Racer at King's Island. And it was a thrill to ride, that anticipatory clicking up the hill and all the shaking and rattling as it sped down the hill and all the twists and turns. After waiting in such a long line, it seemed like the ride was over so quickly. And I'd be sad to hear the sound of the air brakes and feel the car slow down as it came back into the station. The ride was over too soon. That's what I thought when I was 14. Now, if I ride a roller coaster, there is no more welcome sound than the air brakes announcing the end of the ride. Roller coasters now feel like they are rearranging my internal organs. And all I can think about when the car is moving is, please, let this be over. I just want to get off. Peter and the other disciples think they have a pretty good thing going with Jesus. Jesus is amazing. As Jesus tells John the Baptist's disciples in the Gospel of Matthew, Old Testament prophecy is being fulfilled. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. Jesus is the real deal. He's causing quite a stir in Judah and Galilee. There's a lot of talk about Jesus on the streets. Who is he? Where did he come from? In our gospel reading today, we find Jesus and his disciples heading north on the road to the Roman city of Caesarea Philippi, about 40 miles north of Jesus' home base in Capernaum, which is on the northern coast of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus turns the conversation to his own identity. And on the way, he asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" The disciples respond, "John the Baptist." And others say, "Elijah." And others say, "One of the prophets." People are obviously confused. They know that Jesus is someone special, but they are not sure who he really is. The people are confused. Well, what about the disciples? And Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." Peter and the disciples know better than the other people. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. Jesus isn't one of the prophets. Jesus fulfills prophecy. The disciples seem to be on the right track. But what does it mean to be the Christ? And Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. This Jesus roller coaster ride was going pretty good, but now for Peter, things have gone off the rails. No, 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 no. What kind of Christ does Jesus think he is? This is not going to work for anyone. A suffering Christ, a rejected Christ, a dying Christ, I don't think so. And so Peter's going to set Jesus right. This is not the ride that Peter signed up for. So Peter takes charge and rebukes Jesus. And Jesus does not listen to Peter, and instead Jesus rebukes Peter harshly. "Get behind me, Satan. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Peter's trying to take charge of Jesus, and so Jesus sets him straight. "Get behind me." Which, interestingly, is the same word Jesus used earlier when he called Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Follow me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. God's ways are not Peter's ways. God's ways are not your ways. Do not take charge of Jesus. Do not try to lead Jesus. Get behind him. Follow Jesus through suffering and rejection and cross and resurrection, even though it can be a rough ride. Like Peter, lots of folks today would rather skip the cross. The cross is shameful, gory, horrible. A bloody, beaten, naked man writhing in excruciating agony, trying to breathe while nailed hand and foot, it's a shocking sight. It's something you want to run away from, something you're tempted to reject. This is a ride you want to get off of. But it is in this suffering that Jesus shows his love for you. The cross is love. Jesus is dying for your sins. Jesus is dying because of his unending love for you. Peter got so sidetracked by Jesus' suffering and death that he could not hear Jesus say that he would rise again. Death got in the way of resurrection. The awfulness of the cross got in the way of Peter understanding who Jesus really is and what he came to do. And Jesus' teaching is not just for Peter, but for all those who follow Jesus. And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life?" Jesus calls each of you to take up your cross and follow him. Christian life is not promised to be an easy ride, a smooth ride, no promise of an easy, prosperous life. Suffering is part of Christian life. St. Paul in our epistle reading teaches that suffering is useful. He says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And what is God's love? The next verse tells us. "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." You need Jesus' cross in order to get forgiveness of sins and eternal life. You need Jesus' cross. And this is a big problem for so much of so-called Christianity today. There are so many people adopting a crossless Christianity. So many people want to reject the cross of Christ and create a new religion that's therapeutic and encouraging, a new religion that's all about success and happiness with no sacrifice, no suffering. It's all about how God loves you, but silent about how God loves you through his suffering and death on the cross at Calvary. I watched Joel Osteen's sermon from last week entitled, "Trouble is Temporary." Osteen's the pastor of Lakewood Church in Houston, which had a pre-COVID attendance of over 50,000 people each week and 2 million watching online. During the pandemic now, he has around 4 million viewers online. This is awful. Osteen is a wolf in sheep's clothing. His Christianity is crossless Christianity. He preaches what people's itching ears want to hear. As usual in this sermon, nowhere in the sermon itself does Osteen even mention Jesus, let alone Jesus on the cross suffering and dying to pay for your sins. His emphasis instead is that you need to keep a positive attitude that trouble is temporary, so God will grant you favor because of your faithfulness and your obedience. This is crossless Christianity. There is not a cross in sight at Osteen's Lakewood Church, visually or in the sermon. Just God helping you to succeed as long as you have the right attitude. Jesus rebukes false teachers like Peter, Joel Osteen, like you and me when we lose sight of the cross. Get behind me, Satan, for you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Jesus tells us all, quit trying to be the leader. Quit trying to set the agenda. Quit rewriting the rules. Quit telling God how things should be. Get behind Jesus. Follow Jesus. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Deny yourself is not a message of success and achievement. Deny yourself means not indulging your sinful desires. Deny yourself means remaining steadfast through daily temptations, trials, and tests. Deny yourself means not having God look to your faithfulness and obedience, but looking to God's promises and faithfulness and to Jesus' obedience. It's looking to Jesus on the cross and not letting the horror of the cross prevent you from seeing the joy of the empty tomb. This life is full of ups and downs and twists and turns. It's not easy going, and it can feel like it's going to shake you apart. Hang on to Jesus. Do not let the trials, tests, and temptations of this life, including your own death, keep you from looking forward to the joy of your own resurrection. Follow Jesus all the way into eternal life with him in the heavenly city. Amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise to confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
Lord, in these Lenten days, set our mind on your things rather than the things of man, that we may deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow your Son through this life into the joy of his resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, you have given your church the joy of proclaiming the truth that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, so that we might be justified by his blood and saved from your wrath over our sins. Grant all pastors the gifts of your Spirit to preach and teach this truth boldly and faithfully, and help us to confess it in word and deed in our daily lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, keep us from being ashamed of the Son of Man when we face persecution for his name in this world, that he may not be ashamed of us when he comes in your glory with the angels. Be near to all those who are facing martyrdom for Christ, and sustain them unto the end, that they may be crowned with light before you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, since all kingship belongs to you and you rule over the nations, we pray you would bless all those who govern us in your stead, that we may be ruled wisely and in accord with your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, through your Holy Spirit, pour out your love into the hearts of Carol, Deanna, Jaden, John, and all those who suffer in our midst, that their sufferings may produce endurance, character, and character, a hope that will not put them to shame. Grant them health and healing in accord with your perfect will and sustain them in all their trials. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, at your table, the afflicted eat the body and blood of your Son and are satisfied. Through our afflictions, deepen our hunger for this table, that we may eat and drink and be satisfied by Christ's saving life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, as we remember with thanksgiving the multitude of nations that rejoice in heaven before you with their father Abraham, we pray that you would sustain us in that same justifying faith, that as his offspring we may share the everlasting covenant you made with him. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things, and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen. Joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth.
Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Jesus Christ.
preserve you in true faith of the life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
Gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you